Send a movie idea.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Are you ready to make some podcast bronze, Joel?
I'm not really ready, mate. Oh, so I was just explaining to you off mic, I've got an infected toe. By the time people listen to this, it'll have been either successfully or unsuccessfully operated on.
What happens if it's unsuccessful? Do they take your foot off?
Then I want you to play this at my funeral.
Oh, great. This one?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't commit, yeah.
I want you to just put together a best of.
Okay.
That's about 4 hours long, and people have to sit and listen to it.
So just the unedited tapes of every episode with me cut out.
Well, that'd be good, wouldn't it? And then I'll make sure the same thing's played at your funeral. Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one can be taken to the next stage, where it will be adapted as the national anthem for the newly established sovereign state, Grovetopia. Three guesses. Who's going to be king of that?
I'm not actually going to do the three guesses.
Because you know it's me. I'm Joel, a man who puts the stud in studious, and across from me is John Harris, a man so afraid of the dark he hasn't closed his eyes for 10 years. How you doing, John?
If you get contact lenses, you could probably get away with doing that. And I'm seriously thinking about it.
Never closing your eyes again?
Yeah.
Why don't you just...
Or closing my eyes forever. It's one of the two.
Oh, I think you should close one at a time.
It's just constantly winking.
You know, like that. You know those lizards?
Yeah.
Who, when they're on hot sand...
You don't need to tell me. I said yeah.
They sit on... but the listener might not know, John. Much as you protest, there are people that listen to this every week. And they might not have as extensive a knowledge of reptiles as you. They will put 2 feet on the ground at one time and then alternate when they get too hot.
Wait, but that's walking, what?
They have 4 legs, mate. Name me a 2-legged lizard. Oh, apart from Theresa May, am I right?
The lizards walk on 1 leg at a time
when
they're hot.
You jumped in so early to say that you knew about this and you've clearly got no knowledge of it whatsoever. So imagine a 4-legged animal, right?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Front left leg and back right leg will be on the ground to balance it. When those 2 legs get too hot, it'll switch to front right leg, back left leg.
It's just, this is when it's standing.
Yeah.
I thought when it was walking.
It's not walking out like that. Walking out like a marionette.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Fine. Joel, all I know is whenever you talk, I say yes because I know that that's good pod etiquette. And sometimes it leads me to make ridiculous claims like, yeah, I know about this lizard.
Anyway, that's all we've got time for on Reptile Chat for this week. John, we're here to pitch movies.
Yeah.
Pitch me a movie.
Alpacalypse Now. That's from Tom.
That llama's lips.
Yeah. Alpaca lips now.
That's quite good.
It's a pun and it sounds like a film title.
Mm-hmm.
Past that.
Colonel Kurtz is a llama.
Oh.
In the middle of Vietnam.
And he's got beautiful lips.
Hang on. Does an alpaca have good lips? That says more about you than it does.
No, because it's alpaca lips now. The second word is lips. And the third word is now.
What it sounds like is Tom is demanding an alpaca's lips.
Yeah.
And hey, look, whatever Tom wants to do with them is his own business.
Yeah. Sorry, Tom.
Has he emailed the wrong show?
I actually know Tom, so a bit of insight. He personally messaged this to me without any context.
Really?
So, like,
is he all right?
When we get
does he know about the show?
When we get something like this with the Dream Factory through the Dream Factory account, I can immediately go, oh, that's probably a film. But in this instance, I had to say,
are you okay, mate?
Tom, is this for the Dream Factory?
Is this like a safe word?
Tom, have you been kidnapped? So yeah,
if I ever get kidnapped, I'll message you the words "alpaca lips" now, and you'll know. Although I'll be honest, mate, if I get kidnapped and I think I need someone to save me, you are so far down the list of people that I would try.
Yeah, oh no, absolutely.
Whereabouts are feature on your list? Pretty highly, I imagine.
You say like you have it already ready.
What, my list?
You'd probably be in the top 30.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I only know about 25 people. So.
I imagine 29 of them are an elite squad in the Met Police, and then it's me.
Yeah, yeah. What about this one from friend of the show, Stu? At this moment in time, just quickly, I'd like to remind all the listeners that the role of enemy of the show is still open and available.
Yeah, we're still auditioning for that.
Pablo Disco Bar, a musical version of Pablo Escobar's life, entirely with songs by the Bee Gees, Kool and the Gang, and Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Great. That's great.
He's given us a plot.
That's like, not a plot.
Version of his life. But I thought, I prefer the idea, when it came through, I thought it was like Pablo Escobar. It's the story of Pablo Escobar, but he makes his billions
disco
in
Chris.
Disco bars. No. Just making... He's just like the most... He's like, imagine Peter Stringfellow. He's the only He's the only other club magnate I could think of.
Peter Stringfellow.
Yeah, are there many other... Can you think of a club magnate?
Yeah, big time, mate. Aaron P. Stone.
He owns... Weatherspoons.
He owns... Yeah, J.D. Weatherspoon. Aaron P. Stone owns all of the nightclubs in Medway. And if I were to share...
Real?
Yeah, and if I were to share any of the rumours I've heard about him now, I would get a brick through my window tonight.
It's all alleged. Even though you haven't said anything, I'm gonna caveat it with allegedly.
I might say things later in the show that... are accusations about him that I've heard.
As character traits in...
Just as, yeah, as various character traits and plot lines.
I like that. I thought, always thinking, Joel, Pablo Disco Bar is probably a sequel to Napoleon Bonaparte.
Nice, very good.
I don't like the word Bonaparte, but...
Yeah, that also came from Tom. Alpacalypse Now, followed shortly by a Bonaparte.
Any from you, Joel?
No. Yes, this one's coming from Joe. Mulherland Drive. Stephen Mulhern wakes up with amnesia after a failed prank on Antindex Saturday Night Takeaway.
And then weird stuff happens, right?
It gets really surreal pretty quick. Now, I don't know if you've seen Antindex Saturday Night Takeaway, but they venture sometimes into the surreal.
Yeah.
There was a rotating house the last time I saw it. There's potential there.
So I like this. I prefer the idea, Joe, that it's... Mulhern does the film Drive.
Oh, good. Very good. Very good.
So
with
just
the jacket.
Like brooding just in a jacket, murdering people.
Where did Stephen Mulhern come from?
What do you mean?
One day there wasn't Stephen Mulhern, and now he is omnipotent.
So, for the international listener, because he's very much a British thing, So, Ant and Dec are TV presenters. And they're sidekicks to each other, and he's their sidekick.
Yeah, and they all look quite similar. He's a sidekick to sidekicks. Oh, mate.
He's also, the way I know him from childhood is as a TV presenter / magician. And I think he still does magic on...
When did he do that?
He was on, like, CITV.
Oh, I didn't watch CITV, mate.
Oh, yeah, you were watching CBBC.
All the way. Genuinely... disgusted by people that used to watch ITV.
Oh, come on. Everyone watched My Parents Are Aliens.
Oh, yeah, I did watch My Parents Are Aliens.
Yeah, everyone did.
Yeah.
It's top stuff. No, the answer to the question, I don't know where Stephen Mulhern came from, but I'm glad he's here. What about this one from Helen? I think we can go into this one quite a lot. The Darkest Rush Hour. So, Jackie Chan.
Right.
And Chris Tucker, they go back in time and hang out with Churchill, I assume.
How do they go back in time? They drive really quickly.
Yeah, is it DeLorean based?
Yeah, no, it's not. Right, so Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker meet Winston Churchill. Forget about how they've got there or what's happened.
Okay,
maybe they're not Jackie Chan and Chris. Well, so like in the film Rush Hour, Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker aren't playing Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker. They're playing fictional characters. So maybe they're just playing the ancestors of those fictional characters.
Cool.
Prequel.
Yeah.
And there is a bit in Darkest Hour that everyone's got beef with, where he gets on a tube.
Why
isn't
they
that
got
right?
beef with
Because, like,
tubes aren't
I mean, it's classic British people getting annoyed about something. I think he's on the tube for too long, and he gets, like, the tube to Westminster from somewhere very close to Westminster and spends 5 minutes saying hello to everyone. But in actual fact, the tube wouldn't have taken that long.
The big one is in Thor 2. Thor gets on the tube at Greenwich and asks to go somewhere very central, and they say, like, it's two stops.
Yeah. So Churchill has to make a big speech across town.
Yeah.
And he won't get there in time unless he's escorted by Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker, because there's bad guys around.
So the plot of...
The plot of Rush Hour?
Yeah.
Someone gets kidnapped.
And so the governments somehow, of both countries team up.
And what? Put forward their best men?
Yeah, I don't know.
Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker.
Yeah. That kind of happens in the Nordic drama The Bridge.
Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker.
What I'm saying is I've just realised right now that The Bridge is an unofficial sequel to Rush Hour. I'm sure of it. How many Rush Hours were there? Three. So this would be Rush Hour 4. I'm not going to watch it, Joel.
All right.
If people are going to get upset with how long it took for a tube to get from one to another, do you not think they'll be upset with... They did that weird, like, one where Christian Slater played Churchill, and it was like all claymation and stuff.
You've dreamt that.
I think it was called Churchill, the Hollywood Years, or something like that.
You've dreamt that.
Okay.
That you've made that up.
Come at me!
Film here from Mark O'Milly. It's Lil Wayne in Paris.
Wait, what? Oh!
That's pretty good, isn't it?
O'Milly.
It's a thinker, I'll grant you that.
You have to be
a bit of a culture vulture to get that one.
Yeah.
So 2001, a hit international movie, foreign film, O'Milly. Lil Wayne, most famous song, O'Milly. What Mark's cleverly done there is combine the two. So Lil Wayne's living in a quaint little studio flat in Montmartre.
Oh, that's cute.
And from there, he's controlling all of hip-hop. Remind me, John, you're French. What happens in O'Milly? She sort of controls other people's lives. That's right, isn't it?
She, like, follows other people's lives, doesn't she? And then she finds a man in a photo booth she likes.
Doesn't she sort of have, like, photos. A Matilda telepathic power over people?
Yeah. I remember at one point she goes, like, I don't know how many people are having an orgasm right now in the city. It was 13, I believe.
Absolutely no way. I don't believe that in France at any one time there's only 13 people having an orgasm.
I think it was...
It was in that cafe. I'd put the number at near 13,000. Wouldn't you? At any one time, the number of people having an orgasm in Paris. It's how the city's powered. 13!
Pure sexual energy.
What was
energy.
It, like a national day of mourning?
Yeah. Oh.
Runs on pure sexual energy. That's not water in the Seine.
I don't know. So I've seen O'Milly. Right, for the record, everyone, not only have I not seen enough of these films... I also have the worst memory, so even some of the films I have seen, I can't for the life of me.
Just means you can
happens.
Rewatch them. It means you can rewatch them and enjoy them all over again.
That'd be good.
And you know who Lil Wayne is, right?
I've heard of him.
He's a millionaire, he's a young money millionaire. He's tougher than Nigerian hair.
Wasn't there one year where he released 192 songs or something absurd?
Yeah. He's a venereal disease, like a menstrual bleed.
Are these all part of his lyrics?
Yeah, I'm not just freestyling it. Those are the lyrics of that song.
But it seemed like quite a good response to me saying how many tracks he did in a year. You said he's a venereal disease. You know, like,
yeah, he spread like wildfire.
It seemed like, yeah.
192. That's, one every 2 days?
Yeah, I'm not happy
prolific,
about this.
Prolific. Do you reckon he did batched them? Or he actually did one every other day? But he's got to take like a week off or something. You know, before you go on holiday, you try and get all your stuff in. You're like, release these every other day while I'm away, would you? Pops you out of office on. Do hip-hop artists have out of office on their emails?
No, Joe. I'm sorry.
How do you feel about people that write quirky out of office messages?
It's getting the sea, mate, right?
You know when it's like, you can't get in touch with me right now, I'm sunning myself here. I always worry that I would set... Because, I mean, I could write a great out of office email, don't get me wrong.
You'd write the quirkiest.
Yeah, it'd be sensational.
Email.
But what I worry about is that I'd have catastrophically fucked something up in the days preceding me leaving, and then lots of people will try and get in touch with me while on holiday, enraged, and they'll receive like a Photoshop picture of me on the beach.
Or like you as like one of the sphinxes in Egypt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In a bikini. And that really rubs salt into the wound. So I worry about that quite a lot. So whenever I put an out of office on, it's so stale. It's like a dispatch from the front line or something. It's like, Joel's not here.
I'm afraid I'm ooh.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a scary ghost.
Anything. I'm afraid I'm ooh.
I'm afraid I'm
anything
ooh.
Urgent, contact the team. I think that's all I do. I might, if I'm feeling really wacky, put the date that I'm returning.
nice.
But yeah.
I say, anything urgent, go to these coordinates.
What, where you're on holiday?
Yeah, no, not where I'm holiday. I've left a message for them there. Have you ever left anything for someone else to find? There was some talk about this
like
in the office.
Like a key under a rock?
No, like a message in a bottle. Have you ever thrown a message in a bottle?
Joel, my memory's bad enough as it is. I can't remember, but my guess is no.
I let go of some balloons once and one of them got to Scotland.
Oh, well, they're like, get in touch with me if you get this balloon.
Yeah. Someone did. Maybe we should do that. A load of balloons with our face on.
Our face?
Right, my face.
Listener, just for the record, we don't share a face.
Imagine
the listener briefly for, I thought this was two people speaking, there's one face.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
All right, Joel. You need to help me out with this one. I think you can really get involved on this one. This one's from Steve. Willy Wonka and the Football Factory.
I like it. I'm just going to be up front and say that off the bat. It's a great idea. What do you know about... I nearly said either of those things. Obviously, you know loads about the Football Factory. Let me educate you on... So, Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
What happens to him in the end? Does he retire?
Oh, yeah, he goes, you get nothing. And then I think
then he
gives
everything.
It to him in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, what does he do?
No. Yeah, maybe
I want a film about Willy Wonka's retirement.
Yeah, that'd be quite interesting, wouldn't it? Well, maybe this is it. Maybe what he's always wanted to do his whole life. And look, Oompa Loompa, a great football chant right there. It's got the cadence and the rhythm of an excellent chant from the terraces, if you ask me. Can you just imagine fans up and down, bouncing up and down?
I'm imagining the stall. Each stall is in a different like rhythm to each other. So yeah.
Mate, football fans would be capable of choreographing that. Don't you worry about it. Before the internet, I know this about Manchester United. There were guys that wrote the football chants and went to the pubs before games and told the fans what the chants were going to be.
Oh, that's kind of
cool.
Cute.
Is that?
I found that cute. Yeah, that's sweet.
That is really sweet, isn't it?
All right, guys, this week
we're going to do the Giggsy one. That sounds like Joy Division. We're going to do Glory, Glory, Man United. I don't know how we do it every week, but it's good to remind you.
Open with that.
Yeah, we'll open with that. We'll probably close a bit as well. When we're 2-0 up, we'll do the, we're going to score one more. Yeah, it's just great fun. Anyway, so Willy Wonka has always secretly loved a bit of rough and tumble, right?
Yeah.
He was doing car park fights around the back of the chocolate factory. The factory must have had some sort of car park.
I assume so.
So there was like white collar boxing around there that he used to organise. And now he's gone into... football hooliganism.
Yeah, just to confirm, Football Factory is about football hooligans.
Yeah, I've not actually seen it.
Oh, really?
But I've seen films about football hooliganism, and I can't imagine there's much difference. No. Is Football Factory a Danny Dyer one? I think so.
So I'm going to have a little Google.
So I've seen Green Street.
Yeah, so the synopsis, British soccer fans Danny Dyer, Frank Harper, Tamar Hassan celebrate their favourite sports in a wash of drugs alcohol and violence.
Great. That's, I mean, very similar to my experience of going to the Valley of a Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. You took me there, mate, and it was like Jekyll Hyde. You were.
I flipped as soon as I went through the turnstile. Yeah, I actually go through the turnstile loads really, really quickly and come out the other end in like a different outfit and stuff. So I've seen Green Street, which is the Elijah Wood one.
Yes,
which is mad.
Odd casting, isn't it?
Really odd casting. And the moral of the story: so he's a student in America, and he gets beaten up in a toilet, and then he comes to West Ham, where they teach him how to be violent. Then at the end of the film, he goes back, and someone starts on him again, and he beats him up. And the moral of the story is be violent.
Ah,
it's good. It's good. It's a good take home message.
Well, if you take anything away from this podcast this week,
be violent. Be not just be violent. Just be more violent than you're currently being, because you might already be violent.
Yeah.
So just, you know, take it up a notch.
What? Right. So he starts. Willy Wonka sets up like a really colourful factory.
Where's Charlie Bucket from? What's the local football team?
I don't know.
Okay, whoever they are,
yeah,
they haven't got a firm. So Willy Wonka sets up a firm.
Okay.
Do you know what a firm is?
No.
It's like the ultras within the fans, right? So the firm, the self-appointed firm, are like the enforcers. They're the ones that start the fights and start a lot of the chants and stuff, but they're like the aggressors within a... So every football team and every section of fans will have a firm within that. So like Green Street is the name of the West Ham firm, because there's a street near Upton Park called Green Street. So they all have firms.
Oh.
There's a football hooliganism film called The Firm.
So it's like the most organised violence.
Not the most organised violence. There are wars and things.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry.
Sorry,
like, war.
They're not on a par with like the mafia. Okay. You know?
Yeah, wait, there's a lot. Yeah, fine. I take it back.
So anyway, Willy Wonka
are like they're called like organized violence. That's literally their name, isn't it?
Organized crime, yeah.
Crime, yeah. Sorry,
because they've got more rackets than violence. That's not. Like, I don't want to pigeonhole the mob. You know, they can try their hand at anything.
Yeah.
But football hooligans, they're basically just in it for violence.
Okay.
Love a scrap.
Right. So he sets up a firm
for the local football team, and it's him and a load of Oompa Loompas.
I was about to say. Yeah. I mean, it has to end with Oompa Loompas fighting other football teams, fans.
Yeah.
One of the things that annoyed me about the recent Willy Wonka thing, whilst we're on pedantry about British stuff, is that he goes, it doesn't have to make sense. It's candy. And it really annoyed me because they're playing British characters.
We'd call it sweets.
Yeah.
Yeah. That well, really... annoyingly for you in this film, they keep calling it soccer.
Before I move on to the next one, we got a message in from Andy. He says, Our Souls at Night. he just wants us to know that there's a film called Our Souls at Night.
Oh.
It's a recent film. And in America, clearly, that doesn't scan.
Alpacalypse Now.
yeah, it's Tom again.
Our Souls at Night.
Yeah, he just wanted us to know that there's a film called Our Souls at Night.
Has he heard about a live event later in the year?
What, we call it Our Souls at
Night? Yeah.
That's quite good.
No, it's quite fun, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. What about this one from Mike? Atlantis Has Fallen. Now, he saw Olympus Has Fallen. And he saw London Has Fallen. Now, Olympus is at Washington, and then London.
Yeah.
But Atlantis is Atlantis.
Isn't it? Its location's unknown, because it got flooded.
Yeah.
And it's definitely real.
Yeah.
I think it's the basis of one of the Aladdin sequels.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the Aladdin sequels.
Don't quote me on that, but I feel like there's a moving city in one of them that's Atlantis.
Yeah, yeah. This is me yesing you, Joe.
Oh, really? Yeah. Cool, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
I think it was the fourth one.
It wasn't Prince of Thieves, because the quality actually stayed quite high for Prince of Thieves.
What? There's a film called Aladdin, Prince of Thieves?
Yeah.
It's like an animated Disney
It's Aladdin
film.
2.
What?
Yeah. Prince of Thieves. It's one of the animated sequels that holds up pretty
fair
well.
Fair play.
Anyway, what are we talking about? Atlantis?
Yeah.
Has Fallen. Gerard Butler is a mermaid.
or
Neptune. He could be Neptune, couldn't he?
Yeah. So the plot of
He's Neptune's bodyguard.
Yeah.
Who would attack Atlantis?
Terrorists.
What are the terrorist organisation called?
Are they called anything in the... Right, so the Has Fallen films, all I know for them is the first one had Let's Play a Game of Go Fuck Yourself, You're First. Great line.
Yeah.
The second one, he says, why don't you go back to Fuckoffistan, which is a bit, which they thought, let's take those great lines, and then went racist.
Mm.
And I think it's about Gerard Butler punching terrorists who try and attack big cities.
Take it underwater.
Yeah.
Because then the next one will be on the moon.
Are the terrorists also mermaids? Or are they wearing scuba gear?
They've got a submarine.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he punches a submarine.
I'm imagining like a really rickety, like almost like Yellow Submarine.
Yeah,
but
nice,
like crack.
Nice.
Yeah, really, and he just punches
but
it.
With a skull and crossbones on it.
Yeah.
Because that's what terrorists, that's the sign of terrorists.
I assume it's quite like cute and, I assume all the other films are quite cute and quirky.
Yeah.
It's like a Wes Anderson film. It's like The Life Aquatic. Bill Murray plays a terrorist.
He's the head of a terrorist cell.
Yeah. That is punched by Gerard Butler.
Nice. Let's have our ideas. Who should go first, John? Do you want me to go first? Mine's DC's Shazam, a superhero whose only power is that he's exceptionally good at recognising music.
Because obviously Joel and I look like trawl through all the big up and coming films. So I saw DC Shazam and thought, there's nothing there, mate.
Did you?
As soon as you said it, as soon as you emphasised the word Shazam, I went, of course there is.
Well, the thing is, you have to emphasise the word Shazam because it's got an exclamation mark on the end.
Oh, yeah, true.
So DC have failed time and time again to make a great superhero film, Wonder Woman aside. They thought, look, Marvel are doing this fun, quirky thing. How can we make our film fun and quirky? Exclamation mark. Shazam! You can't, like, Shazam doesn't scream murky and grey, does it?
Yeah.
I don't know who the fuck Shazam is.
Oh, right. Is it?
Do you?
Sorry, I thought you meant the brat. I thought you meant the song recognition thing.
Have you ever heard of this guy?
No. I was going to pretend like I did for a second there.
Shazam!
I know about it now, and if I'm not wrong, I think he's a child who, when he becomes a superhero, is an adult. A bit like Banana Man was that.
Yeah, I'd love
it. He's the American Banana Man.
I'm hanging out for the Banana Man film.
Yeah. Also, you know, we've got to think, look, we're modern day filmmakers, Joel.
We are.
And the tie-ins will be huge. The amount of money we'll be getting purely off name recognition for Shazam. I mean,
big time. It's the ultimate product placement.
It's the best.
It's literally the name of the film. Name me some circumstances, because I couldn't think of many, in which him being a superhero that's only able to recognise music is useful.
Some kind of... Before the terrorists attack or the baddies attack, they play a song, a child.
Nice.
And then, like, it's almost like a super, like, detective thing where he can be like, they're about to attack this city. And then the real superhero is going to do the hard work.
No, but then his superhero power is excellent hearing. And that isn't his superhero power. He has the hearing of a normal man.
Yeah.
And he can just recognise the song. Maybe they send coded messages in the songs they play.
Yeah, I like that.
So they exchange messages via mixtape or something. And they don't label them. So you don't know what the songs are.
Mm.
That's really clever. Well done, man.
And he Shazams it and goes, the name of this song is We're Going to Attack This City.
And he shouts Shazam every time before he names what the song is.
Shazam!
The name of the song is We're Going to Attack This City.
Yeah. And then the next one is like The Time.
Yeah, that's great.
Third one's like the type of weapon they're going to use.
Yeah. And the fourth one's just like an excellent David Gray track just to ease people in.
And then the like one of the final sequences of the film is he listens to the track again. They're in like a big city. I'm not going to say. For some reason, I felt scared to say a city, like as if films don't attack cities.
Yeah, they don't.
So they're in Prague. Oh, I can't believe I said that. So they're in Prague, and by the way, The Rock's playing Shazam in the big adaptation.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Which is beautiful because all of our films contain The Rock, so this is one of the easiest ones. Yeah. So The Rock is sat there, and and they're like, the attack's supposed to have happened already.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's happening, guys? So he goes and listens to the track again, and he got it wrong.
Oh, it's not in Prague.
It's in another city that sounds like Prague.
Yep.
Hamburg.
Great.
Yeah.
He needs to get his earwax syringed. I've always wanted to go and get that done. But also, it feels a bit like Pandora's box.
Why?
We know what's in there. And once you've had it done, you know.
Yeah, there's no going back? You could hear everything ever again.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
shut up, world!
There's 13 people having an orgasm. That sort of thing.
John lives alone.
I've got access to the internet. What's your idea, John?
Okay, what about this one from me? My name's John. Here's my idea. So, I don't know if you've noticed, but one of the reasons that we started this was
loneliness.
And the fact that like Michael Bay got away with making a battleship movie,
yes,
based on numbers board game,
based on a board game, yeah.
And we've previously tried to do Kaplunk, mm-hmm. And I was thinking, let's go a bit more modern, let's go a bit more hip. Then I thought maybe Tamagotchi, and then,
that is modern, that is hip.
Yeah, and then I thought even more modern and hip, Joel. Do you remember, and I think this is a little bit after our time, and I think I know it because my little brother had one. Do you remember Scanners?
Yes.
What about the Scanners movie?
I had a
movie?
Scanner. Are you saying that I was too old to have a scanner?
No. I'm just saying I didn't have one.
Scanners was the weirdest fucking thing, and yeah. I haven't thought about this
until now.
For about 14 years.
Yeah.
I've goosebumps now thinking about this because it was the most insane fucking thing.
Yeah.
So, well, you should explain. It's your movie idea.
No, I feel like because you had one, I feel like you've got a better hold on it.
So it was this handheld device. It was like a big flat Tamagotchi, like hand, you know, pretty sizable mini sort of tablet thing with a tiny screen on and an infrared scanner at the top. And you could scan any barcode of any product that existed and that would correlate to different creatures and items existed within this game. So you could go into your kitchen and scan your porridge, and it might mean you got a new like monster to add to your roster of monsters, and you could train them up, and you could like battle them because other barcodes would initiate that, or other people that you met. Tell you now, I never met a single other person in the world with a scanner. Could have done with really being mates with your brother at that time in my life. Yeah, and you just scan all the household items, or you go to a supermarket and scan stuff, and it would send you items to this thing. It was mad. It was really, really mad. It's one of those things that, like, I look back now and my parents were thinking, what is this piece of crap we've bought our son? And like, I think, oh, I can't wait to start buying that sort of shit for my kids and be confused and feel old.
So, yeah, they were just trying to glamorize checkouts. It was, they were pre self-service checkouts. That's what they were, mate.
Yeah, look, if I got a monster or something every time I went
self-service checkout,
I'd be all over it.
So basically, let's put our cynical hat on and go, what they thought was, Tamagotchis weren't appealing to boys enough.
Yeah.
Let's make the monsters slightly less cute. Let's make the handset more... It looks more like... Aggressive is a weird word to describe design, but it is more like...
A bit more edgy.
Yeah. And it was definitely like, let's make Tamagotchis for boys with this cool element that the Tamagotchis didn't have. Anyway, so my thought process is what kind of conspiracy theory in a film world would mean that you would put monsters into barcodes?
Yeah, good question. So that again sounds like some sort of secret messaging thing. So the monsters can be put into barcodes and then snuck across borders and then taken out of the barcode and they exist in the real world.
Oh, and so you've got to get one of these scanner things and catch them all before they attack.
Here's the underlying satire.
Yeah.
The film's about people becoming obsessed with processed foods and they should eat organic, natural, fresh foods.
Because there's not a barcode on an apple.
So the message is this food's evil.
Oh, barcoded food is evil.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, and they kind of take the form a little bit. This is our film. This is an actual Scanners. They kind of take the form of mozzarella, you know, like a ready meal and stuff.
Mozzarella was the worst processed food you could think of then. What kind of fucking...
I was thinking melted cheese.
What kind of
artisanal
motherfucker are you? It'll be one of those horrible processed foods like mozzarella. What, do you make your own cheese? When I was a kid, my granddad used to make... He might still do this. Make his own cheese in a sock that he would hang off the washing line. I had a very normal childhood.
That's amazing.
Ask me how many times I tried the sock cheese.
How many times did you...
None. Of course, I never ate that.
He made his own cheese in a sock. I would have gone for a bit.
No, you wouldn't.
I would have gone for
one. You absolutely would not. Not when you see the sock.
Well, I assume it was a...
It comes straight off his
clean
foot.
Shut up. He went for a run and then just hung the sock up with some milk in it.
And the cheese was just 4 minutes. Scanners and Grandad's sock cheese are things I haven't thought about for quite some time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go home and, you know, just settle in for the evening and think about my childhood.
So the two messages to take away from this episode this week, guys.
Be more violent.
Yeah, that's the main one. And processed food is evil.
Processed food is evil, yeah. Use your violence on processed food.
Send in your photos of you punching a ready meal.
A mozzarella ball.
Please don't.
Do, absolutely do. That brings us to the end, John. Who is the winner this week?
The darkest rush hour.
The darkest rush hour, really?
No, I liked you had you brought us a good one from Mark.
Yep, our Millie.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. It's just nice to think about Lil Wayne every now and again. Anyway, we know it's time to go because there is a rat-tat-tat at the studio door. And strolling on in for their booking, it's only bloody Shazam! I've got a serious guilty pleasure at the moment.
Oh, go on.
It's a TV show.
Yeah?
Called Brain Dead.
Go on.
It came out in 2016. They made one season of it and cancelled it. And
that's not fun.
My girlfriend Emma and I were scrolling through Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
We're about to hit the point where we're going to fall out over having not chosen anything for...
It's the worst, isn't it?
We're probably like 20 minutes of scrolling.
You know, like 50% of marriages end in divorce.
Yeah.
I think Netflix and Amazon have only increased that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll start seeing Netflix cited in divorce papers pretty soon. Anyway, so we saw Brain Dead, and I was like, look at this. This is a show, it exists. And it was 5 stars on Amazon.
This is a show, it exists. That was the criteria you were looking for.
And we were like,
right,
let's just fucking watch it. Let's just watch it. The lead character played Ramona in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Yeah.
And the story is a meteor crashes in Washington, D.C., and loads of bugs come out of it, and they start crawling into the ears of politicians and changing their behaviour. And it's like really funny and really excellently. It's really, really good. Really good. But I'm too scared to tell anyone, like in my day to day life, that I like it in case they watch it and think, "Is he all right?
Why?
Because I don't know if it's crap because they didn't renew it for a second season, right? So I don't know. I've got about 2 episodes left, and they'll never have any more of this show to watch again. But I'm hoping if I can encourage the listeners to this to watch.
Finally, we'll get it back on.
So look out on Twitter for our change.org petition.
On a different end of the popularity spectrum,
mm-hmm.
I am all over Queer Eye. It's brilliant.
I haven't watched it yet.
Brilliant.
I need to watch it. I never watched the original.
If you've got nothing to watch, episode of Brain Dead, episode of Queer Eye, and just keep going. No, I don't know. You don't need to watch the original Queer Eye at all. It's a new gang.
It's a whole new gang.
It's a whole new gang.
What happened to the old gang?
Don't know. Stuff, mate.
They're dead.
It's brilliant. It's really good.
Yeah.
Lovely, feel good, just uplifting telly, which is what we all need right now.
And if there's anyone that knows about lovely, feel good, uplifting things, it's John Harris.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.